Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
So I want to talk about your position in God or your position in heaven. And did you know that you have a seat in heavenly places? Do you know the Bible says that you were raised up to be seated together with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies? And that sounds kind of outrageous, doesn't it? But we know either we believe the Bible or we have to disbelieve it. But if we believe that, then we have to figure out, what does that mean? If you have a position in heaven or if you're seated in heavenly places, what could that mean? I believe what he's referring to is that in the heavenlies or in him, remember it says in him we live and move and have our being. And if we're to live in him, then we're to live positioned in a way that we can see our life and the kingdom and the lives of others from a heavenly perspective. Do you ever have a problem in the earth or a situation that just seems too much or it seems beyond fixing? And if God shows you his perspective, then suddenly it's no longer too much. As a matter of fact, once you see God's perspective or the heavenly perspective, sometimes what seemed like a big trial isn't really a trial at all. It's something that just needs to be seen through a different lens. And so being seated in heavenly places gives you that lens. Father, I pray that you give me the words to share what's in your heart about this matter and words that will open windows of understanding for us so that we can understand our position in heaven, each of us. In Jesus' name. So, some years ago, most of you that know me know that I'm often in meetings, and sometimes in a meeting, the Holy Spirit will give me a word of knowledge, and a word of knowledge is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and it's simply a secret that there's no way I could have known. And, of course, you know my story. I was healed by someone that using a woman with a word of knowledge, and that word of knowledge was something she didn't know. In fact, no one but me knew it, not my family, not my parents, no one knew this. So it was truly, had to be the Lord. Only the Lord could have revealed it to this lady, and this lady had detailed information about my life, and I ended up getting a physical healing from that. Well, so that's what a word of knowledge is. Often it's a healing, often it's information God wants to give that person. But it's something that they know. The minute you open your mouth, they know it's God, because you're saying things that you couldn't have known. Well, it was the first gift that I probably ever moved in as far as the gifts of the Spirit. And, excuse me, it had become pretty common for me to operate in it. And a few years ago, I had a rather unusual experience where God explained to me. Sometimes when God teaches me, he uses pictures to do it, or like a, we might call it a vision, or just a picture in your mind's eye, or an understanding. And the picture was this. I was kneeling on the floor, and it was like a wooden floor, but this room was in heaven. So this is just a picture or a parable, right? And I was kneeling, and in front of me was this big hole. And in this picture or this vision, an angel was standing behind me. He would hand me something and I would push it through the hole to someone that was on the earth. Now that is a very good picture of how things come from heaven to earth. So let's say you've been believing for a healing. Let's say you've read the scripture that by his stripes you were healed. And let's say you have an understanding, you believe it by faith, but you haven't seen it in your body. Well, we've talked about this before. Where is your healing? If by his stripes you were healed, if it's already yours, where is it? It's in heavenly places. And what pulls it from heaven to earth is your faith. Well, so here's how this works. There are many, many, many things in heaven that were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. They're spelled out in the promises. They already belong to you legally. By legal right, they belong to you. So the minute your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is all review, by the way, we've talked about many of these things, but the minute your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all these things were added to your account. everything you'd ever need, which Jesus already paid for. You didn't see them in the earth yet until you saw the promise and believed it, okay? Now, let's add another level of understanding to it. Quite often, God will just deliver it because of your faith, but sometimes he'll use a person. Sometimes he'll use a person and a gift of the Spirit in that person. And so, what I want to get to is this. I believe that every one of you that's watching, I believe that every believer, every born-again believer, has a position in heaven. I believe the position you have in heaven, you know, you're seated in heavenly places, right? Until you find your chair, it's going to be hard for you to operate or flow in the fullness of your identity. I think the mistake we've made is we've tried to understand in the earth setting, who am I, what's my calling, what are my giftings, and we've looked at all these earthly things like personality type, people take all these tests. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what I'm going to say is when you find your calling, your position, your chair in heaven, your area, I'll call it, when you find that, you'll find out all kinds of things about who you really are that you didn't know and that earth couldn't show you because earth did not craft you. Jesus did. So before he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And so he put things in there. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so there were things that were crafted in you that I may not have. That might mean giftings, callings, personality, all kinds of things that have to do with who you really are and what you're really called to do. And so my point is this, a lot of times we bump through life doing the best we know to do and responding to all the trouble, you know, trying to keep things smooth, right? We try to pay the bills and, you know, feed the dog and take care of the kids. There's a lot of earthly stuff that we get caught up in, and in that we might be praying, what is my calling or what am I to do in the earth? And my point is this, the only way to know that is when we fellowship with Jesus in the place of the heavenlies. In other words, when we spend time with him in his realm, a lot of things start to come clear. I'm going to share you just a little bit more about this place that I saw. It was like a room, and there were many, many things in the room. I'm still discovering, by the way. And I believe God was trying to, that this is a parable. Okay, the vision was a parable for each of us. And in this parable, there was a wall of books that were, I knew they were for me to discover, and I knew it would take a long time. There was another wall that had an entryway to a different area. There's all kinds of things in this room, and the Lord called it my area. At first, I didn't tell anybody about it because it was very strange. But let me say this to you. I actually believe that each of us has a calling and identity that is so unique that you will be able to do things that it might not fit my identity and calling. And so that's why we think differently. Did you ever notice how differently we all think? Life might throw one set of circumstances at 10 of us and we would have 10 different conclusions. Even the way we read the Bible. So many times you'll hear Bible experts that have studied and they come out with differing opinions of what it means. And you know why? Because we bring our life filters, we look through filters, and each of us is different. And so the point of that is God is trying to help you see who you really are. And my point is, you can't really see that by just guessing or taking a personality quiz or test or a gifting test. I know they have those. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not even saying they won't help point in the right direction. This is what I'm saying. When you come close enough to Jesus in relationship, there starts almost like a journey of exploration, where Jesus says something like this, I want to show you the heavens. I want to show you who you really are. Right? I want to show you who you are in eternity. And I want to show you your real identity. your real fingerprint in heaven. Because you have to understand, there's no one else exactly like you. You know, when I look at really any great minister, but I'll just use Edgar as an example, there was nobody like Edgar. Nobody with his personality type. Nobody that could deliver a message quite in the same way that he did. And it had to do with his life experience, but Edgar was born that way. And if you look at many great ministers, you'll discover that no two of them are exactly the same. They don't behave the same. They don't have the same personality type. They don't deliver the message the same way. 10 messengers could carry the same message and deliver it in 10 different ways because of their identity. But it's very, very important that we not try to imitate one another, that we not try to be like the other guy. Because I promise you, there are things about you that we need. There are things in you that we need. But the problem is, we don't need your flesh. We don't need your head doctrine. What we need is what God has ordained from eternity past to come through you. And the world needs what you have. Some of you are called to be soul winners. I'm talking to a couple of people who are tremendous soul winners. And I'm seeing a picture, even as I'm saying this, that there's a cap. There's been a cap put on it because someone told you you shouldn't be doing that. And I feel like God just wants you to tear that cap off. Do what you were born to do without apology. Because if we don't have soul winners, we are in trouble. We need real evangelists, real soul winners, people with the guts to display the gifts of the Spirit outside the four walls of the church. Because when a gift of the Spirit is displayed outside the four walls of the church, that's when people know there's God. Because there are some people that are never going to set foot in the church. They're never going to come to church, no matter what you what steak dinner you buy them. But if you approach them by the power of the Spirit and you say, hey, listen, I know this sounds a little bit different, but I believe God showed me something about you, and then you say it, and if it's an accurate word of knowledge, it's pretty stunning to watch their reaction, because they know it has to be God. It has to be God. And even the timing, the Holy Spirit is so smart that quite often he'll have you approach somebody right in the timing when they've been asking questions. Right in the timing. I remember my friends went out to witness one night. It was very late at night, and God directed them, and they caught a young man. They didn't know this, but the young man was about to commit suicide. And they got a hold of this guy, and they began to witness to him and talk to him. And the words they were using were the very things that he was crying out to God about. And he was not really saved. He was just, you know how sometimes unsaved people can yell at God because they're mad, you know? They know there's a God. And this guy, if they had been 10 minutes later, he would have killed himself. But by the power of the Spirit, by the gifts of the Spirit, God sent them to where he was, gave them different words to say by the flow of the Spirit. Listen, that's a learned thing that we all need to learn. If you don't do anything else in this life, learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, because that is what turns people around. You know, not arguments. Arguments don't sway people, really. It's very rare that an argument wins somebody's heart. Very rare. But one well-placed gift of the Spirit in operation is stunning. I remember Edgar we would be in a restaurant, and the way it worked with him is not going to be the way it might work with the rest of us. Everybody's different. Even within one gift of the Spirit, no two people will operate quite the same way. You know, not everybody delivers word of knowledge the same way. But with Edgar, he would find himself, his eyes would lock on somebody. You know, somebody in the restaurant, his eyes would just lock on them. And when it happened, he knew that he was supposed to go talk to them, just because it's like he couldn't look away. And he would get up, and it happened often, fairly often with him. He would get up and go talk to that person. And just one example is, there were three ladies sitting in a booth at a restaurant. His eyes locked on one of them, and Edgar, being a very bold and a very personable, loud guy, you know, he went over and sat right down in the middle of their conversation. Now, they were laughing, talking, so it didn't look like there was anything wrong. But he knew by the power of the Spirit, this is a word of knowledge, that this one lady was in great distress. Now, she was laughing and having a good time with her friends, but she was deeply troubled. And Edgar had this ability. He took her hand and he said, "Darling," like Edgar would say. And he began to talk to her that God knew her heart, God knew her need, and he'd heard her prayer. And this lady just began to sob in the restaurant. And what happened? She met God that day. She was not born again, but she was crying out to God. You know what's interesting to me? There are thousands upon thousands of people who know about God. They believe in God. They know he exists. They look to him for help, but they've never been born again. You know, because they were either raised in a religious home or a religious system. Some of them have never been in church. Some spent their whole life in church, but never have come to know him in a personal way. And they are crying out to him, and they don't know what to do. And they have a profound respect for God, but they're not sure what to do. Now here comes a stranger who tells them a secret and says it's from God. And there's always, listen, whenever this happens, there will be certain words the Holy Spirit will give you that are so personal to them, that they know it's God. And we call that God's fingerprints. One time there was a young lady, and she was pretty young, pretty backslid, and involved in some things that probably she shouldn't have been. And God had me to write a loving email from him. It was not from me. It was from him. And in this email, he talked about certain things that sounded funny to me. I mean, it sounded odd to me, but they were certain words that were very precious to her, and it was things that meant a lot to her because she was a young girl. And what happened? She knew that that letter was from God. Someone else typed it, obviously, but she knew that that was God on the scene. And that's the point of the word of knowledge. You know, word of knowledge is you know, of course, one of my favorite gifts of the Spirit. Some of you will operate in the other ones. They're, you know, take a look at the gifts of the Spirit. They're phenomenal. And every time you operate in a gift of the Spirit, you draw someone into the kingdom. You're not drawing to them to yourself. You're drawing them to the Lord, because the minute that you open your mouth, if it's accurate, they know that you've heard from God. And I remember I was traveling with my friend, and we were in a coffee shop, and she was witnessing to the young man, and she was telling him about Jesus, and he was a little, I don't think he was born again. And he was polite, but standoffish. And then she said, "Oh, my friend here likes to pray for me." And I'm thinking, "Oh dear, oh okay." You know, so I just did what I do, and I kind of listened in and said, "What are you saying, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Son, you've not been always treated with respect. You've not had nice things said to you. There were things said to you that weren't kind." But he said, "That was never what I said to you." And you know what? That guy went from thinking we were a little bit strange to saying that was God, that word. That's what he said, that word was from God. You see, I'm not saying yay me. I'm saying it changes, it flips the switch in someone's heart. Because people have associated God with the bad experience they had at church. Or they've associated God with a bad experience they had with religion or judgmental family members. And so they put God in that category and they think, "I don't want that God." But now, what you have is an opportunity to show them the real and living God, a God that cares, a God that knows what happened to them last week, or that saw them crying on their bed at 2 a.m, or that said, "I see that your son is sick," or that says you have a situation in your home that seems impossible, but I, the Lord, know about it. And listen, a lot of times when you do this, even with a total stranger, a lot of times they burst into tears. And what is happening? God is reaching out to them through you and me. And a lot of times when we talk about this, people get fearful and they think, "Well, what if I miss it?" Here's the thing. Really, you don't. There's a fear there of what will people think if I miss it. But honestly, you wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't God. You know, Satan doesn't want you doing it. Satan doesn't want you doing it. And God has had me do some really strange things. He had me stop my car on the street and talk to a total stranger. And you know, for a shy person, that's a bit of a stretch. But you know what? He has never embarrassed me. He has never embarrassed me. I've had one of my friends, she would go to the grocery store, and the Lord would pick someone out in the grocery store and say, go pray for that person. And she would, she's just like a real sweet girl, and she would walk up and just say, excuse me, but can I pray for you? I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you. And you know what you'll find when the Lord sends you? You'll find 100% of the time the person's like, yes, please do. Yes, please pray for me. In fact, one man, he got in trouble for this, but he actually put up a little stand in the Walmart parking lot that said something like free prayer, or, you know, come and get prayer. And until they threw him out, people were coming up and getting prayer. I mean, what a way to witness to people. Because remember, there are hordes of people. Yes, there are people that are anti-Christian because they don't know enough, but there's also hordes and hordes and hordes of people that have had some form of religion and do want God, but they just don't know how to get to Him. They don't know how to hear from Him. They don't know how to find Him. They don't know how to be born again. And you're the go-between. I'm the go-between. And so it's actually, it can be really fun to meet people. And of course, when we do it in the four walls of the church, that's actually what we call practice. We're practicing, we're learning, we're training, and we're growing until we get, God wants you to have a razor sharp accuracy when you deliver a word, okay? But you don't start that way. You know, you might start with something a little stumbling and bumbling, but as you give a word to the person and they confirm back to you, your confidence grows and you say, wait a minute, that was God. Okay, and each time you grow a little more and a little more and a little more until you're accurate. And God wants you to a place where He can tap you on the shoulder and you won't chicken out. And He'll say, hey, I really want you to go talk to that lady with the red shirt on. You know, I mean, one lady came to one of our meetings out in La Salle, Peru. And she was a German lady, and she had she was learning English, still learning, so her English was somewhat broken. And Edgar had prayed for her, so she was down for the count. I mean, she was on the floor, but the Lord had me go pray for her. And as I did, God is saying all these things about her childhood. Now, you would think, you know, does the timing seem off here? Can she even hear me? But what was happening? The Spirit of God was ministering to her and healing her soul. Healing her soul. Listen, God wants His people whole. He wants them free. And God wants to use all of us, every one of us. The gifts are for everyone. You know, there's a big lie that I think a lot of us believe. I used to believe it, is would God really want to use me? Well, I think He only wants to use special people. Why would He use me? I'm not really usable. And I used to think that. And God actually kind of, if you pardon the expression, kind of chewed me out. He said, I wish that all my people would use the gifts all the time. I want my people to be used in the gifts all of the time. I want them to become very comfortable with the gifts of the Spirit, because every time, this is what He told me, every time a gift of the Spirit is used accurately, it brings someone closer to Christ. It makes them, the first thing that happens is they know it wasn't you. They know it was God. So He gets the glory, you don't. That's the first thing that happens. And the second thing is they say, if that's what God is like, I want Him. If that's what God is like, and not this judgmental God that I heard about, if that's what God is like, that He was looking in my bedroom last night when I was crying over my son, if that's what God is like, I want to develop a relationship with Him. You see, the gifts of the Spirit draw people, because the gifts of the Spirit show God's love. They show His personality type, that He cares for people. You know, there's people out there that are on the verge of giving up. You know, people that have tried everything they know to get free. Think about people who are in addiction and they're hopeless. Think about people who are stuck. Think about prostitutes. You know, God loves them. God cares for them. And you know what? I have a friend that said she never met a prostitute she couldn't lead to the Lord, because she understands the love of God for them. She can manifest the love of God to them in a way that they get. God loves me no matter what I've done. God loves me no matter how long I've been doing this. There's a lot of people that do that because they couldn't find any other way to make it. And some of them had kids they had to feed. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I'm just telling you. There's a lot of people out there that if they just knew the goodness of God instead of the anger of God, if they knew the love of God and the reality of what Jesus has done, they would run to him, but they haven't really been told. A picture hasn't been painted for them. And so that's why I love the gifts of the Spirit so much, because the gifts of the Spirit, they actually reach into that person's heart, and it's not us, it's God reaching right through us into their heart, saying, this is what I'm really like. I know your troubles. I know your heart. I know why your heart was broken. I know those things your dad said to you. And when that kind of stuff happens, we see it all the time. People get unlocked. They get unbound. They get set free from things that have held them captive for years and years and years. And the whole thing is, it shouldn't be just a couple of people doing this. It should be the whole body of Christ. This should become normal Christian living. The gifts of the Spirit should become completely normal. Now, I know there's a whole segment of the church that might think they don't want it. It's just because they don't know enough about it. But for those of us that do know about it, press in. And you're not pressing in for the goosebump, and you're not pressing in for the encounter. You're pressing into Him, and you're pressing in for them. Because the kingdom is about Him and them. It's not about you and me, right? We're just the go-between. That's all we are. We're just the go-between. But if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things shall be added. When you seek first the kingdom, what you're trying to do, the ministry you've been called to is the ministry of reconciliation. And what that means is you are reconciling people to God. You're taking their hand and His hand, and you're joining them, and you're allowing them to be reconciled. And you know, on that day, we don't want to see people go to hell if we could have helped them see it. We don't want people to be turned away at the gate because we were too chicken to tell them, or too chicken to tell them the dream we had about them, right? I'll give you one simple way to do this, is just sit with the Lord, and let's say you have someone in your life. It could be a neighbor, family member, could be somebody you work with, maybe somebody you don't even know that well. And what you do is you sit with the Lord and you pray for that person. And if you know how to pray in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. And you keep doing that. You just keep doing that. Give it some time. Spend time praying for that person. And two things are happening. One is their heart is being prepared while you pray. And the other thing is, eventually, maybe not day one or day two, maybe not even day five, but sooner or later, God will give you something for them, usually. Not always, it's not like a law, but usually He'll give you a picture, a dream, a word, a scripture. And even then, you don't have to rush out and do it. You keep praying. And then what happens is God will open the door. And you just say, you know, I just want you to know I've been praying for you and I saw something. I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but this is the picture I saw, or this is the scripture I got. And watch their reaction. It's so fun, because usually what's happening is, you know, people wear a mask. People you work with wear a mask. And the mask is like, I'm fine. You know, they don't show sometimes what's going on in their home. A lot of people, you have no idea what's going on in their house. You have no idea how difficult things can be for people. And they can't say anything. They can't go around telling anybody. I'll tell you, it happened in my life. I won't tell you what happened, but I will tell you that in my house, years and years and years ago, I was very young, something happened that was so dreadful in my house, and I couldn't tell anybody. And I literally went into a state of shock. It was so bad, and I couldn't tell anybody. And the Lord knew I was going to be in trouble if I didn't have help. So a woman I barely knew, I'd only just seen her, she was in the church choir with me. I knew who she was, but that's all. I didn't know her well. And she called me at 10 at night, and she said, I don't mean to get in your business, but what is going on over there? God has had me on my face praying for you for I forget how many hours. Well, she didn't have to know the exact thing that happened, but that was enough to tell me, this is the person I can trust in. This is the person I can tell, because I can't tell anybody, but this, I need to talk to somebody. Who do I talk to? Well, I can trust this lady. She's, because God told her a secret, that there was something dreadful that had happened in my house, and I had no one to go to. You see, that's a word of knowledge, and much more. And that woman ended up praying me through one of the darkest times of my life. You know, it's amazing. And it was really a word of knowledge that she got in prayer. You want to win one of your neighbors, you know, don't pray for them for 5 minutes. Pray for them. Pray for them every day. Keep praying for them. And what's happening? As you pray, God's working on the soil of their heart. He's breaking up fallow ground. He's making the soil ready to receive the seed. He's just making, don't worry about it. Don't push it. Don't rush it. You just keep praying for him. Pray in the spirit. You should keep praying for him, praying for him, praying for him. And then what happens, usually you won't even be the one to open the door. It'll just open and you're like, oh, you know, it just happens. It just happens. Or he may lead you to write something out and mail it to him. Or he may lead you to go say, hey, you want to go for a coffee? He'll tell you what to do. You don't try to make it happen. You just keep praying and watch. Because God will give you the words to give them. Or another thing that may happen as you pray for them is someone else will come and tell them the very thing they need to know because you were praying. Isn't that amazing? You know, God wants to touch people, and he can only do it through us. He wants to use us, and then he wants us to reward us for that we did it, even though it was really all him. It was all him. And so God really, he really loves people. And he really cares when people are in trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. People are in trouble. And they don't know how to go to God. Even the ones that want to don't know how. And you are the link. You're the go-between. So let's go back to what I said at the beginning. You have a chair in heaven. It says you were raised up with him and seated together with him in heavenly places. That means you have a chair. You have a position. You have an area. And it has to do with who you are in the kingdom. And when you find who you are in the heavenlies, when you find your true identity, then you'll be able to manifest God in the truest form. You know, because God knows who you really are because he created you. People don't really know who you are. To be honest, you don't even know who you are. I can tell you, the only person that really knows us is the Lord. And he knows things about you that are hidden on the inside. He knows the marvelous works of God that are hidden in you, waiting to be revealed. But the problem is, they don't just happen. We have to get that open. We have to do it through fellowship with God, fellowship in the holy place, fellowship with the King. As we fellowship with him, what starts to happen is our true identity begins to blossom. The real you begins to come forth. You know, I'm 64, I'm still finding out more every year. I'm telling you, every year I see more about who I am and what I'm called to do. And God will give me something new, and I'll find that I have the gifting to do it, and I didn't even know it was in there. And I'll think, well, I didn't know we were going to do that. See, there are thousands of things God has put in you, but you don't want to wait till you die and go to heaven and say, oh, I didn't know that I had that ability. No, you want to walk in him and get used to learning how to flow with him, because that's how it all works. It's like if you could imagine a harp. You remember the big harp they play with the orchestra? That thing has the ability to make phenomenal, beautiful music. But it takes someone who knows how to do it. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. You have in you all those strings. You have in you all this stuff that is heavenly. It's in your born-again spirit. It's not in your flesh. It's not in your intellect. It's in your born-again spirit. And I'm telling you, it's heavenly. But the only way that the music comes, the only way it works, is when the Holy Spirit interacts with you. You interact with him, and it begins to open the sounds of heaven. It begins to open the wind of heaven, the Ruach, that's his name, Ruach HaKodesh, the wind or the breath of God. That's who he is. And when he blows through your spirit, now you've got rivers of living water flowing out of your belly, okay? And it says belly because that's your born-again spirit. It's not your stomach. It's your born-again spirit, okay? So God wants you to have a journey of finding your position in heaven, who you really are, who he says you are, not what you think, not what I think, not what people think. And by the way, some of the things people have said to you have, to some of you, have crippled you because it's not true. And so we have to throw off anything that isn't of God and say, God, what do you say about that? What do you say about my future? What do you say about my calling? And if you get that from Him, you'll get to a place where you're so complete, so whole emotionally. You don't care what anybody thinks. You know who you are in Him. And when you get that, you can minister without apology. You can minister whether people are great or low or high. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if it's a king. It doesn't matter because you know who you are. You know who He made you. And you can only get that from Him. You only get that from fellowship with Him. It's the only way it can come. Hallelujah. So seek Him out. He has a lot for you. He has a lot to reveal to you about you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I love you, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.